Welcome back to the Original 11. Glad to have you join us once again for this, the first episode of the 2017 season. We did a couple of these in the preseason, but this is the first one for the year, for the actual season. I'm really looking forward to doing these throughout the year. We'll have try to keep somewhat of a similar format where we'll have a player interview to start off and then a conversation with Cody Cruchel, the radio play-by-play guy for Princeton football. And we'll finish up with a coach kind of talking about his position, but also maybe a little bit more of a specific look at the upcoming game. I will do these throughout the season. I'm really looking forward to doing this. I've done the TigerCast podcast for about 9 years. We've always had a football player during the season, but I really felt like we could do a lot more with football season by specifically having its own football podcast, and we'll upload these every Thursday. I hope you'll subscribe. You can subscribe by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or on your favorite podcast device. If you're a subscriber, you'll have the Original 11 downloaded automatically. You also get TigerCast, LaxCast, any post-game radio calls that Cody Cruchel or somebody upload. So a lot of opportunities to get terrific audio coverage of Princeton athletics all year. Certainly that's my plan for this football season, is to make it fun, especially, you know, our weekly conversations with Cody. This week, since there wasn't a game to look back on, we took the season and kind of, you know, you figure what's the median win total that most people might predict for Princeton. You know, maybe they would consider a 5, 6, 7 win season to be a normal good season. So what we tried to do was look at what might happen for this team to not reach that expectation. You know, what would go wrong? And then what would have to happen for this team to get to that 8, 9 win, 10 win maybe total and be in that championship mix come the final week or two of the season. You know, and it was turned into a fun conversation. It lasted about 20 minutes, and hopefully you enjoy it, maybe learn a little, and hopefully help get you looking forward to the start of this season. Also today we'll have inside linebacker Mark Fassati, who makes his first collegiate start on Saturday. He and Tommy Johnson go inside for to replace graduated seniors and all Ivy standouts Rohan Hilton and Luke Katerius. So Mark certainly talks about, you know, the preseason, how the chemistry is early on between him and Tommy Johnson, and just kind of the excitement of kind of getting this senior season going. We also talked to Andy Arch, the offensive line coach, associate head coach. His group certainly returns a lot of experience, led by Mitch Swigert, first-team All-Ivy tackle, but also a couple of All-Ivy guys, and Eric Ramirez and Riley Radosevich, and really just a good, experienced group that I think should be the focal points, or one of the focal points of the offensive success, hopefully, this season. So a couple good conversations. I hope you enjoy. As I said, please subscribe. Search Princeton Tigers on iTunes, your podcast device. Get these every week. You'll also, you know, be able to find them on Go Princeton Tigers or your podcast app. And without further ado, let's get this episode started with a conversation with Mark Fassati. Mark, you know, before we get into talking about this game, I mean, before we started, you just kind of talk about the excitement of it finally being game week. I mean, you've watched 2 weekends of college football. You've been in camp. What is this feeling like, finally getting game week for you?
I think it's you know, a little different this year than most years, because this is, you know, my last season, and, you know, for the entire season class, this is our last season. So you know, we all kind of feel this kind of like a little anxiety going on, like, you know, this is our last go around. So we've been working hard all summer and all camp, just, you know, for this whole season, and we've been preparing for San Diego and seeing other teams play at the Division I level. You know, it's getting us even more jacked up.
You know, it's interesting. I thought this team last year came into the season with a bit of a chip on their shoulder. You had that, you know, those three tough games to end what was that 2015 season, and you could feel that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously last year was so great, and you want to take something from it, but you want to kind of find that chip on your shoulder. So kind of in that sense, how did you evaluate this preseason in terms of just the energy and the attitude and the mentality that this team is taking?
I thought, like I said earlier, our senior class did a great job. We stepped up. Last year, those seniors, they stepped up, and the rest of the team followed, and it was great energy throughout the camp for that year. And this year, we've kind of been doing the same thing, led by, captains Kurt Haluba and John Lovett and Chad Knopf, who's been here before his senior year. We really felt having good energy throughout camp. It was super important to us. And then our coaches, emphasized that, and they gave us plenty of, time for rest and recovery. So that made our practices even more, beneficial for us.
There are a lot of guys that certainly had experience on this defense last year, yourself included, but a lot of graduated seniors. How long does it take to form chemistry kind of throughout an entire unit, not just kind of line to linebacker and defensive backs, but just in terms of your position and those linebackers? How long has it taken, and do you feel kind of good knowing you'll get better, but where you are right now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does take time, and we've seen it this preseason camp. I'm playing next to Tom Johnson, who, hasn't played a game on the inside yet here. So this is pretty new for him, but, he's doing a great job. He's picking everything up real quickly, and he does a great job communicating, which is a huge thing at the linebacker position. We're playing with a bunch of guys who really haven't played together before. It takes some time to communicate well and to, figure out, if get everyone on the same page. But I think we've been doing a great job with it, and, I think we're pretty much there. We're at the point where we think we're ready to go.
Considering your experience inside and the importance of that position, have you had to take it on yourself to be a little bit more of a vocal leader, kind of making sure guys are in the right spots before plays?
Absolutely. I'm not afraid to be loud out there on the field. And, like I said, Tom's new to the position, but, there'd be times where he doesn't know a call and I'll have to scream it out. And, same thing goes the other way. If I miss something, he'll be there to point it out. But, yeah, playing linebacker, it's one of the most vocal positions on the field, other than like the quarterback. So we try to do as much as we can to make sure everyone's on the same page.
What was your focus? I mean, it's not like you're somebody who is inexperienced in the position, but now knowing that you may be going from 40 to 50 plays a game to 70 or 80, what was your focus kind of in the off season, for your body, and then also just kind of knowing this defense?
I kind of wanted to focus on getting my size up. I was a little small, I noticed, last year, and I whenever I went to take on these offensive linemen in games, they would always kind of overpower me. So this year, this offseason, I've been trying to put on as much size as I can. I was up to 230 at the start of camp, and I had some of the best numbers on the team as far as weight room concerns. But I was able to do that while still keeping my speed, and I think that was a lot of guys' mentality going into this season. They wanted to be a lot bigger, but able to keep that speed on the field. And I saw a lot of guys push themselves in the weight room all summer, all winter, and I think we've been doing a great job with that.
Let's look a little bit at this weekend. The rare team that you haven't seen very much of in San Diego, as always, a team that's gotten to play two games, so they've kind of worked the kinks out. But kind of from what you've seen on film about their offense, I know they have a terrific quarterback, but what does it look like, the challenges that they present?
Yeah, we haven't played a team like San Diego. We haven't played them in 4 years. I was fortunate enough to go out there, and it didn't end well for us last time. So us seniors who were there at that game, we remember that. But they are a great team. After watching film, they got a Walter Payton finalist at quarterback, like you said, and they're a team that likes to run the ball too. They won't shy away from it. They like to pound the rock, and it's going to be tough for us inside. But this is a linebacker's dream. You love when teams want to just buckle down and get into an I formation and run the ball, and they'll try and pass off of that. But it's all about stopping the run on our defense.
Do you feel like, I know that people will say they'll look at the Hilton and Dorian and Katerius and guys, but do you feel like the group that you have right now, as it gels together, blends together, can grow into a kind of dominant unit that you had last year?
Absolutely. I'm already seeing the connection, out there between me and Tom Johnson. And the same thing goes with, the rest of the D-line. I see them gelling well together. And I don't see a reason why we couldn't be, you know, recognized as the same force as, you know, Dorian and Luke Gutierrez last year, who were great players.
We're back now with Cody Kruschel, the voice of Princeton Tiger football. And, you know, each week I wanted to, you know, talk with Cody about kind of either, you know, the game we saw the past weekend, talk a little bit about the upcoming game, and just kind of about the team as a whole. And since we don't have anything to talk about from last weekend, you know, you and I talked a little bit before about the potential of this season, kind of where we think, you know, this team could end up record-wise. And what I want to look at now is kind of how they would get to a couple of different places. We look at this team over the last, you know, 6 years, and they've been 5-5 a few times, and then the two championship seasons, the 8-2. And I think I want to take it in that context of, you know, there's three kind of places you can, you know, I think this team can go. You can have kind of that fantastic championship-type season, an 8-2, a 9-1, a 10-0 season. You can have those good seasons, you know, somewhere between 5 wins and 7 wins. And then what I think would be kind of universally for this team, a disappointing season, which would be really anything 4 wins and below. And I want to look at how they could get to each one of those places. What would have to happen for this team to have really a disappointing season, a perfectly fine season, and then kind of one of those championship type seasons, even if it doesn't end up in a championship. And, you know, we talked about looking on both sides of the ball. And so let's start with kind of your perspective. I'll let you start with it offensively. For this team to really struggle this year, 4 wins below, just, you know, a losing season, offensively, how would it have to happen?
I think a lot of it comes down to the offensive line, and you kind of look at what Princeton won't have out there on the field, and you look at some of the receivers from last year. 4 of the top 5 receivers from last year will not be in uniform for the opener this Saturday, but, you know, I think it comes down to the offensive line, and that's an area last year where it was a bright spot because they had injuries, and then it seems like every week you had somebody stepping up. I think 5 players made their first career start on the offensive line last season, and they never really seem to skip a beat. And, you know, with the guys you don't have here, you can make the guys you don't have out there, you can make up for a lot of that with offensive line play. And you look at what is back, and Mitchell Swigert, not a lot of guys better at the left tackle position than him, and they have experience the rest of the way. And, you know, kind of a blessing in disguise last year. You don't want players to go down, but they have so many more guys that got experience under their belt. And if you have a strong offensive line, you can make up for some other things on the offensive side of the football.
So would it be in that way that they just don't blend well together this year, or is it just a couple of guys that can't get hurt? Because the one guy in my mind that you need to keep on the field is Swigert. I mean, first team all Ivy League last year, the anchor of this offensive line. You know, there is that depth that you talk about, but there are just some people on the field that are irreplaceable. And I think that one of them really is Swigert.
I would say that. I mean, this is a guy who's been all Ivy the past couple of years. He's started pretty much every game the last 3 seasons. And this is someone who protects Chad Kanoff's blind side. And now with a lot of the focus on Chad Kanoff with the skill set that he has and what he's going to be asked to do this season, I would have to agree with you.
You know, if you look at the possibilities on the other side of the ball for this season to really fall apart, there are so many guys that have to be replaced right now, basically on all 3 levels, defensive line, linebacker, defensive backfield. The one guy that you have back that you have absolute confidence in is Kurt Holuba. And in my mind, if anything happens to Kurt Holuba, this could really get tricky defensively, because if he's on the field, for the most part, you're playing 10-on-9 defense. He's the one guy that's going to attract double teams all season. Unless there's somebody that makes a big jump that I'm not expecting, you're going to single team a lot of these guys and scheme for, you know, certain areas and run your offense the way you want to run it. But if Holuba, if 90 is on the field, there's a lot of attention on him. And if he can play the 10, Princeton is 10-3. 11-2 in his last 13 starts. 11-2. If he is on the field,
I can't see this defense struggling that much.
And I feel like this was a conversation we were having 1 year ago, because Kurt Helouba coming off that injury-shortened season 2 years ago in 2015, and it was the same conversation where what needs to happen for the Tigers to really have a chance to compete for an Ivy League title, and we know how that went, 8-2 last year, and they did split that title. Big reason for that, Kurt Helouba was the runner-up for the Defensive Player of the Year in the Ivy League. He was healthy. He was the player that he could be. And you look at this defense, 9 new starters coming into this opener on Saturday, and one of those 2 returning starters is Chance Melanson, who didn't open last season as a starter. So I don't think you can overstate too much how important Kurt Helouba being out there, being healthy, and being the kind of player that he was last year is to this team. And I think if you talk to the coaching staff and you just stand next to Kurt Helouba, you look at him last year and him this year, he looks like a different player. You know, he looks like he's taken it to the next level over the offseason, and he was pretty scary for opposing quarterbacks last year.
Yeah, he wants to get to the next level. This is somebody that wants to follow Mike Catapano and Caron Reed from the Princeton defensive line to the NFL, and he's taken it seriously, and you're right, you can absolutely see it in him right now. You know, you look at you know, we talked about the perfectly acceptable 5-5 to 7-3 season, which is not a season that anybody in this building wants right now. They have their eyes set, and I think, you know, deservedly so, on something, you know, championship level. So let's just go right there, because I think, you know, we can kind of figure out in the middle of these two conversations is what, you know, kind of is the maybe what the majority of people expect. Offensively, what has to happen for this team to get to that Yale game, get to that Dartmouth game, in the mix, in the real mix for an Ivy championship?
I think it comes down to health, and I think it comes down to the development of the receiver position. We've talked about what the Tigers have lost. You know, you have Jesper Horsted coming back, but if you're Chad Kanoff, there's some guys that you're without this year that you have a real rapport with, or you have had it. James Frusciante graduated, Trevor Osborne graduated. So there's some guys.
Isaiah Barnes.
Scott Carpenter. Forget about him. Scott Carpenter, all these guys. And now you turn to players that we've heard about, guys like Jordan Argue and Steven Carlson, who have looked very good in practice. And the good thing is they're upperclassmen, so while they haven't maybe had the game snaps and the game reps and the game catches, they have this rapport and this relationship with Chad Kanoff, and you can tell that if you're out at practice watching.
You know, the other spot there is the running back position, and I think it's an interesting one because, as you know, it's out there right now. People know. We don't know when John Lovett is going to be back on the field. And so every time Princeton got inside the 10-yard line, you basically knew what was going to happen. Princeton knew, the opposing team knew, the fans knew. You know, 12 was getting the ball, and nobody stopped him. So Princeton's going to have to figure out a new way to score inside the 10. And when you have backs like Charlie Volker, you know, what we saw, we liked what we saw from Ryan Quigley last year, and we liked what we've seen from Colin Eady in the preseason, but either one of them is going to have to step up and be, you know, an 800 to 1,000 yard guy, or they're going to have to combine to be a real force. But this running game is going to have to be a factor, and they're going to have to be a factor inside the 10, because I still think that's what Princeton likes to do. They like to be fast, they like to be physical, and they like to run the ball in.
And you also almost forget the impact a guy like Joe Radigan had. This is a player who I think had 11 or 12 rushing touchdowns over the last 2 seasons, and that was even battling injury the last 2 years. So not only trying to move on early on without John Lovett, but replacing Joe Radigan. And you maybe are missing that dimension because you think of guys like Charlie Volker and Ryan Quigley, and really what stood out for them last year was the speed. You don't necessarily think of Charlie Volker as a guy who can run between the tackles, but you look at him now, and he's somebody who maybe is built in that mold.
You know, and you don't want to skip over the obvious, but if this team is an Ivy League championship-level team, Chad Kanoff's going to have a great year. And I think he's the kind of player that has a great year in him. You look at how physically he just looks like a top-level quarterback. And you've seen him in this preseason. It's very easy to forget, and I talked about this on the last show. It's very easy to forget what Chad Kanoff did last year because of how incredible Love it was. But Kanoff was second-team All-Ivy quarterback, led Princeton to an 8-2 season, made the big throws when he needed to. After that Lehigh game, stopped throwing interceptions. I think he threw three the rest of the season. And, you know, but now you got to take the next step. As you said, you lost a number of receivers. He's going to have to, I think in some cases, throw guys open, which he can do. And he's going to have to put up points this year because I think, and we'll get to this defensively, there were games last year where the other team didn't score until the game was over, okay? I don't think that's going to happen quite as often this year. He's going to have to win a couple of shootouts for this team to be in the race in the final week.
And also you have to keep in mind it's a new offensive coordinator in Sean Gleason, so certainly he's been on the staff, but he hasn't worked directly with quarterbacks in his time here, and there's somebody new calling the plays this year. So not only Chad Kanoff adjusting to new receivers, adjusting to not having John Lovett out there initially, but at least some semblance of a new offense. Sean Gleason will put his own stamp on this, and for Chad Kanoff, also adjusting to being in the spotlight. And you talk to Sean Gleason, Chad Kanoff, he has the big arm. He talked about it last week. He hasn't seen him make a bad throw in practice in a couple of weeks, but they need him to not only step up physically, they need him to step up and be able to run this offense and take charge. And Chad Kanoff, maybe not necessarily the outgoing leader who's going to go out there and vocally rally the troops. And this year, as a senior, as a third-year starter under center, they're going to need him to take on that vocal leadership role and really engineer this offense.
You flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and there's two big areas that I look at for this team is when you get to the heart of Ivy League play. Can you stop the run, and do you have that one top-level cornerback? This team had an incredible run defense last year, and I think when you look at guys like Henry Schlossberg, Luke Katerius, you know, Rohan Hilton that are gone, it's going to take a hit, and it's going to take a little bit of time to, you know, build it back up. The one thing that I don't know that you can replace is the speed of Rohan Hilton, okay? You have guys like Mark Fassad, and you have guys like Tommy Johnson, and I think that they can be really good inside linebackers. I'm not sure any of them have the speed to match what he did, but everything else I think this team can accomplish in the run game in forcing teams to be one-dimensional. And then when you get to them one-dimensional, can you have somebody who had the season that James Gales did last year? Because at this point last year, nobody had any idea who James Gales was outside of this university. And nobody in this coaching staff expected him to have the season he had. He was maybe one of the two best cornerbacks in the league. He graduated. Mason Williams from Penn transferred to Duke. And so now I think there's an opening to be kind of that lead cornerback in an offensive-friendly Ivy League. So, Chance Melanson, is it Will Johnson? Is it one of the freshmen, C.J. Wall, DeLon Stallworth, Matthew Winston? Who can one of those guys step up? Can you get those two dimensions? Because I think if you get one, you have a chance to be pretty good. And if you get both, I think you have the chance to be really good.
That's a really interesting thing to keep in mind and something that'll be interesting to keep an eye on as the season progresses. You look at the secondary, and we had the same conversation last year with Anthony Gaffney and John Hill and Kamal Brown graduating, you know, losing guys who had combined for almost 100 career starts between that secondary, and James Gales was the one that was able to step up. But you look at the initial depth chart, the initial two deep. There's one senior in the secondary, that's Chance Melanson, who's started 8 games over his career. And then a couple of the freshmen that you mentioned, Stallworth and Winston, not necessarily listed, but guys who were expected to get some playing time. So, you know, you don't have proven commodities back there, but if there's underclassmen that are going to be in the mix early on, the coaching staff must like something. So there's a lot of talent there, and that's exciting going forward, because if you can get a couple of these guys to establish themselves as underclassmen, you look at what this team could be going forward, and this is a young defense. Yeah, that's going to be really interesting to watch over the first couple of weeks, and that was interesting last year because of what happened to the secondary against Lafayette and what happened to the secondary against Lehigh, and that was really the defense. The first 2 weeks last year, they gave up over 800 yards through the air, and then The rest of the way, it was under 200 yards a game through the air, or something ridiculous like that. So certainly something to keep an eye on, but you do have Chance Melanson back there, and then a lot of potential around him.
Bob Sorensen learned something about that defensive backfield on Saturday. You know, he's going to get a Peyton Award candidate in Anthony Lawrence from San Diego. You know, always tough that first game. Historically, you know, Princeton's won their last two season openers, but historically, it's tough to play that first game against a team that's played two games. You have a high-level quarterback in Anthony Lawrence. I know somebody who the team – San Diego didn't put up a ton of points last weekend, but you look at that game, the box score, statistically they're fairly even, and it just seemed like every single important play went against them. But, you know, they have an accurate, high-level, experienced quarterback, and he's got to be licking his chops looking at a defensive backfield that, outside of Melanson, is brand new.
Anthony Lawrence, another guy who's in his third season as San Diego's starting quarterback. This is a player who threw for almost 3,000 yards a year ago, and on top of that, he led his team to a playoff victory, the first ever non-scholarship team to win an FCS playoff game. So they've lost some guys in the wide receiver position. They lost an All-American running back who rushed for over 1,400 yards and a guy named Jonah Hodges, but still an experienced starting quarterback with a big arm who has had success in the past. That's a great test early on. This is a San Diego team. You know, you almost don't know what to expect because Princeton doesn't play a lot of teams out of the Pioneer League, at least they haven't in the past. And, you know, it's a team that's making the trip across country. They haven't played each other in a couple of years, but this is a really good test for this team, especially for the first game of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the cross-country trip Princeton made to San Diego 3 years ago, and I thought that it affected Princeton. I thought it took them a little bit of time to kind of get their feet. San Diego makes these trips three times a year. That's just the way the Pioneer League works. They this will be their first one this season, so I think there is a little of that to the nuance of that that will, you know, maybe affect them. But these are not new for the veterans for San Diego.
I haven't done the math. I've been meaning to, but here's San Diego's road schedule. Last week they played UC Davis. At least they stay in state for that, but they fly to Princeton, they fly to Dayton, they fly to Florida back-to-back weeks to take on Jacksonville and Stetson on the road, and then they wrap up at Davidson. That is five cross-country flights.
Yeah, and it's incredible being part of that league, how they do that. But, you know, it makes sense for them to get a non-league game early on the road to kind of deal with all of that. It will be their first, so that's probably somewhat of an advantage to Princeton, but for a Princeton team going into their first game, I think there's just a lot. It's exciting. I always find the season opener exciting because you've got some guys that you know from the previous season. You want to see the growth that they made, the improvements. And then who's going to be that season's James Gales? Who's going to be that season's, you know, John Lovett? Who's going to way surpass your expectations and take what you thought might be a pretty good season and make it something really special?
And that's the exciting thing about college sports, not just limited to college football. You do have turnover. You know, your best players, you're going to have on the field for 4 years, and that's it. So that's life in college football, and every year, every sport, there's a couple of guys that step up and come out of nowhere and really make an impact, and we'll get our first look at that potentially this Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to doing this with you weekly as we go through the 149th season of Princeton Tiger football. Let's move to our next interview, and that is with the associate head coach and offensive line coach, somebody we talked about how important that position is and the number of returners that they have, Andrew Orich, a veteran player for Princeton, led Princeton to a really great 2005 season, turned into lead into the 2006 championship season. He's been with Princeton a couple of different times, was the running back coach when Chuck DiBilio had his historic 2011 season, has been back with Princeton for the last few years, helped Princeton win the Ivy League championship last year, and I think is very optimistic about what Princeton can accomplish this season, especially on that offensive line, led by Mitch Swigert, led by Eric Ramirez, Riley Radosevich, a lot of veterans on this team. And somebody who's pretty optimistic about what Princeton can accomplish. Let's talk now with Andy Orich. Andy, obviously, we have plenty to talk about this weekend, but let's go over preseason a little bit, offense, and more specifically this line. You know, it's maybe the one position that has the most returners. You know, four out of the five starters are back. Did it feel like maybe you were able to be at an even advanced level of chemistry just starting the preseason?
For certain guys, I'd say there was definitely that aspect to it. That being said, you always have to start out from ground zero. It just meant I could move a little faster along when starting out at ground zero to get guys who maybe are ready to be a little more advanced, you know, that extra little bit of knowledge. But there's still freshmen in the room, and they got to learn from the very basic part of it. So if anything, it helped having them there because they can help bring the freshmen along because their knowledge of the offense is so much stronger.
Let's talk a little bit about Swigert. Three times, you know, he'll be in his third year as a starter, first team all Ivy League. Princeton hasn't had many of them over the last decade. And somebody that, you know, I sense has real aspirations to play at the next level. I mean, he came in looking great, put on a lot of weight, looks stronger. What have you seen from him in the preseason?
Well, what I see is a guy who's significantly bigger, but hasn't lost any of his athleticism. Any of the movement stuff that he needs to do. So he had a great summer, and clearly as he put the weight on, he got stronger. He kept his explosiveness. So he's been playing at a really high level, no drop-off at all with the extra weight, which is great to see.
You're the top offensive freshman award went to Riley Radosevich last year. He was the one freshman who really made a pretty sizable impact on that offensive line last year, and now he's projected to start on the other side of the line opposite of Swigert. You know, that year one to year two, you can see the jump, having the full year of conditioning and then that year of experience. What have you seen him add to his game, and how do you feel about year two of him?
He's put on a good amount of weight. He's probably 15, 20 pounds heavier, which obviously helps. He's got significantly stronger from his freshman fall till now. But the biggest thing is he's made a huge jump in his technique. So he went from a guy who knew the offense, but he didn't really understand the finer points of the techniques, and he was getting by off his athleticism for most of his freshman year. And now that, you know, he understands the technique he needs to use in, you know, certain situations, he's playing at a higher level.
The starter you lost, Mason Darrow, playing that really important center position, you know, where it's not just the blocking, but making calls and understanding, you know, what's in front of them. Now you've got Richard Bush there who played plenty, but not necessarily in this role as the full-time starter. Have you been pleased with what you've seen from him, and do you feel like, you know, he's kind of ready to take that position?
Yeah, I've been very pleased. You know, what you said about them doing more than just the physical part of it, the center position is all about helping us play fast by dictating the tempo, getting your hand in the football, getting the communication across the line so we can snap the ball fast. And he's done a great job of that. And I haven't seen any drop off Mason to him as far as that goes. And he's playing at a high level. He definitely had another guy who had a great summer and has come back stronger and in great shape. So I've been really pleased with how he's performed so far in camp.
Obviously, you haven't seen the offense, you know, on game day so far. So you have some questions that will get answered on Saturday. But, you know, some areas, yours in particular, a lot of returners. Other areas, wide receivers, you know, tight ends, a lot of new faces. Overall, have you been pleased with the way the offense has looked so far, understanding there's a long ways to go?
Definitely. The biggest thing is they have to understand that we want to play fast, and there is a sense of urgency from the group to play fast. And that's from the starters all the way down to through the freshmen that are, you know, in the third group. So that part of it is the first part that we have to get done. And then the execution part of it, which has improved as camp comes along, is showing up now, obviously. And now we're in the game week here. So everything shrinks as far as what's in from an offensive game plan standpoint. You're not running everything. So, you know, this game week, it should be even better execution-wise.
Not your standard, you know, Ivy League or Patriot League opponent this weekend. You have San Diego, team that went to the NCAA playoffs last year, won a game, reigning Pioneer League champion. They've gotten to play two games, which is nothing new. You always play that opener against somebody that's played two games. But when you've looked at this team defensively on film, I know they have a big line up front, but what has stood out to you?
They are I got a chance to watch both games live. Luckily, there's live feeds. And the thing that stood out to me was their very aggressive defense. They want to get after the quarterback. They're going to blitz blitz you quite a bit and, you know, have their secondary hold up for them. And even when they don't blitz, they have a very good defensive line who gets after the quarterback. They have an All-American defensive end who, you know, has all the tools in his toolbox as far as pass rush goes. And, you know, it's a good challenge for my guys up front because that front seven is very good.
What's the message before the opening game, especially to an offense where you know they'll be ramped up? And part of that is good. I mean, you want to play with some emotion, but you don't want to be kind of out of control. Do you simplify things a little at the start of you know, especially that first game, or do you just kind of let them loose and see what happens?
I'm sure there's for them it seems like a simplification because we're not carrying every single thing we installed in camp. But we're, as an offense, going to want to run the plays we think are going to be the best for that opponent. So I wouldn't say there was an oversimplification. The biggest message that we want to get across to them from the get-go is we got to play fast. That's the most important thing because that is how we can get our advantage.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of The Original 11. A reminder, you can subscribe to all Princeton Tigers podcasts by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, and you'll immediately get every edition of The Original 11, TigerCast, LaxCast, and any other podcast from the Princeton Athletic Department. You can watch Saturday's game against San Diego on 11 Sports or on the Ivy League Network. Starts at 12 p.m. You can also listen on WPRB 103.3 FM or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile device. Thank you for listening to The Original 11.